Praise God. Did you all hear my heart? Now, I was, you know, I'm kind of always, you know, I'm not good at, and I have always the stage fright, right? But then this evening, whatever God has put me in my heart, right? I'm going to say that. And then as I was dealing on the subject, anger, right? I'm a person who's prone to anger, right? And then not only anger, you know, all these subtle sins you were talking about past few months. And then it was really encouraged my heart that it's not only anger, it may be discontentment, unfaithfulness, you know, all these, the subjects we were talking about. And then always, and as I was kind of preparing for this message, I was thinking about, where do I stand in the presence of God? You know, as a Christian, as a believer, where do I stand? And as I was kind of meditating, in a story, this is a true story, and this happened to me, you know, happened to me last week. And I was thinking about and meditating about anger. And then, so last week, as some of you know, like, you know, we took a small trip to, we took a small vacation, and then we went to Destin, Florida. And we started on Sunday early morning, and then we reached there by Monday late night, because in between we had to stop at New Orleans. And then we reached there, and this was a resort, and then we go to the front office, we get our keys, and then we go to our room, you know, it was, but then as soon as it was, as soon as we entered, we opened, you know, and I was really upset, frustrated, and mad. Is because that is what was not our expectation. We are going for a vacation and paying so much of money. And then I was really upset and mad. And this morning I was just thinking about that, you know, as we started our journey Sunday morning, we as a family prayed, you know, for that God would take us safely at our destination. But instead of thanking God, you know, I was frustrated and mad at the management not giving us a good room, right? So instead of taking, you know, even though this matter is very small, right? And I was thinking, instead of taking that to God and just, you know, putting at his feet, rather than I was frustrated and angry about. So I was angry about it. So, actually that convicted me, you know, as I was kind of preparing this message, right? It sounds very small, but then as a believer, where do we stand in our life? You know, where do we stand in the presence of God? And it convicted me. And then, so today's topic that was, you know, given to me is anger. I don't know, whenever I stand, it's not very clear for me. I don't know what's going on. Last time too, we had the same issue, but that's okay. I'm happy. So anger. Today, I want to talk about anger as it's been on the slide. I want to talk about the definition of anger and what causes for our anger. And then I want to talk a little bit about beats of anger, why the author calls it a beats of anger. Because as anger progresses, you know, it can be noxious, and then, you know, it can spread. So then I want to give you the examples of Abe and Joseph. And the last topic will be ways to deal with our anger. How can we deal with our anger? So okay, as you see, you could see the definition of anger, I just put a definition over there. A strong feeling of being upset or annoyed against someone who has behaved badly. And it's usually accompanied by sinful emotion, words, and hurtful actions. And then in Proverbs, it says that a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. Then James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That is the definition. And then I don't want to spend more time on this. So what causes us to be anger? Some of the causes I just put down over here. And as I said, maybe due to some unjust action or words from other people can cause us anger. And as I said, I was frustrated and mad when we reached the place because it was not to when we went for our vacation, it was not to my expectation. So I was frustrated, and the pride, can cause us, selfishness can cause us to be anger. Desire of control, right? I want to control. If somebody says something, but I want to control that situation, that can cause us to be anger. Impatient, right? Impatience is one of the things that cause you anger. If you stand in a line and after some time you get impatient and angry, right? So that can cause us to be angry. Worry or frustration can cause us to be angry. Our opinions or efforts aren't appreciated. When someone doesn't appreciate our opinions, right? Sometimes we get angry. And when we are not treated fair, there may be more things, right? These are some of the reasons of what I thought, I get angry about, or like we all can get angry about. And then as we move to the next, the next slide is weeds of anger. So as I said, right, the author clearly says why he says weeds of anger, because if anger is not contained, right, or it can progress and, it can be poisonous to others, right? So that is very much possible when you cannot control our anger, that can spread. And so, as it says, it's a long-term unresolved anger creates many noxious weeds that poisons our hearts and the minds of others around us. And, I just remember our house, maybe a few years ago that I did not take care of my backyard. And then the weeds started growing. And finally what happened, it's kind of spread everywhere. I had to literally remove the whole thing and put a new sod, and it was very expensive. So these are the things. If you don't control your anger, right, it can spread, right? It can be poison. It can poison our minds. Also, it can poison others around us. So the anger is never static. If it is not dealt with, it will grow. Anger will grow like weeds. It will spread places you don't want it and will multiply faster than longer it's allowed to stay. In Ephesians, we read that 4:26, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So it clearly says that do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. That means, right, do not wait until next day. If you have to forgive someone, just talk to them and resolve it. Don't wait. But if you wait, what's going to happen is it's going to take control of you. And so some of the noxious weeds that spring up from unresolved anger are resentment, and it's an internalized unresolved anger that is held on to, and And you can see these are the some of the things. And when anger is not being controlled, right, it progresses to resentment, and that can lead to bitterness. Then that can lead to an enmity or hostility, or then it can lead to hate, right? And it can lead to strife. You know, it's an open conflict where other people are involved. And as I was just going through these things, you know, a topic came to my mind. Two stories actually from the Bible. Is the first story is of Cain, and its first anger is mentioned in Genesis chapter 4. Then I was kind of contrasting between Cain and Joseph. So let's look at that example of Cain. So in Genesis 4, chapter 4, verse 2, 8, it says, "Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. It says, so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast." Why he was angry, right? He was angry because God did not accept his offering. Then look at verse 6. "Then Lord said to Cain," I was really amazed, you know, God approaching Cain, right? And asking him, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not, do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." And I was really interested. God is approaching Cain and giving him a chance to repent. But in verse 8 it says, "Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let's go out to the field.' While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him." So what is the result of anger? When you look at the result of anger, the first thing we can see is, you know, Cain refused to repent of his sinful disobedience. He was given a chance to repent, right? But he did not repent. Not only he did not repent of his sinful disobedience, he was hostile to God, whom he could not kill, and became jealous of his brother, whom he could kill, right? He became hostile to God. Then he rejected the wisdom spoken by God. Then he rejected doing what is right. So you could see the result is, thus sin ruled over him and turned him into a killer. It's as I was just going through, like, this is what it's. It started with a anger, but then you could see his bitterness, his hatred towards his brother. And even though he was given a chance, right? Instead of repenting, right? He went and killed his brother, right? And so it's in Romans 6, 12, 14, it says, 6 verse 12 to 14, it says, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust." It's saying, do not sin control your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." But it says, it's verse 13 says, "Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin," but it says, "to present yourself to God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness." All what Cain could have done is repent, right? He was given a chance, but he did not do that. Instead, the sin took control over him. And in Ephesians 4, 25 to 31, we read, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we all are members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, or do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need." Verse 29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for," look at, "building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." And verse 31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." Look at verse 32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So just as Christ forgave you, we have to forgive others. And let's look at the life of Joseph. Here you can see a contrast, right? And everybody knows the story of Joseph. You know, it's mentioned in Genesis chapter 37 towards the end of the Genesis 50. His story is mentioned in that. And you know, I've just put some I'd point out some highlights. He was sold by his brothers into slavery, right? You know the reason. And not only that, he was accused by the Potiphar's wife, and he was forgotten by men who sought to plead his case with the authorities. So he was totally forgotten, and he was accused for nothing what he did, right? He was wrongly accused for, and his brother did. He was sold into slavery, and you know the story about it. And then but then one thing what caught my attention is, like, instead of being bitter, instead of being angry with his brother, right, and as the story goes by, he became the second in command in Egypt. Just imagine. And I was thinking about this, I was going through, just imagine if I get a position, right, if somebody does harm to me or somebody offends me, and I grow in my position, I reach a position where I have control of everything. I was thinking, what do I do, right? But Joseph did not do, he did not do anything. And in fact, it says that, you can, in verse, in a chapter 45, verse 4 to 8, and I'm reading verse 7, it says that, "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here," he says, "but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of this entire household and ruler of all Egypt." So he's saying, it was not you who sent me here. He says it is God. And in Genesis 50, verse 19 and 21 says, "Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives.'" So it says that you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. His brothers wanted to harm him. Potiphar's wife wanted to harm him, right? But God did not forget Joseph. He could have been angry. And as I said, if it was me, right, I would have retaliated. You know, it's not a small thing to go through that. But he says, that you intended to harm me, but God intended for good. What a great testimony that is, right, of Joseph. He was not bitter or angry, but he could see God's sovereignty in his life. And then God was in control of his life. And the next slide. So how can we deal with our anger so that it does not begin to sprout these noxious weeds? How can we deal with anger? There are 3 points that the author mentions in his book. It says, trust in God's sovereignty. You know, and I gave you the example of Joseph. Joseph did trust in God's sovereignty, right? And you could see God blessed him, right? And in Romans 8, verse 28, it says that we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What an encouraging verse is that, right? We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. That is what happened in Joseph's life. Right, you know, people, you know, his brothers meant, he was sold in slavery, but then everything was bad initially, but it worked out good in his life towards in the end. And the next point is love one another, right? It's clearly, it says that we should pray to God and ask him to enable us to grow in love towards people. So the second point is, you know, we have to love one another. No matter what, right? I think so. This is something, you know, I have to say that even myself, it's really very hard to just imagine if somebody has harmed me, like, you know, how can, you know, I forgive? It's really hard to forgive, but clearly it says that, you know, in 1 Peter 4, verse, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sin, right? In 1 Corinthians 13, 4, 15, it says, love is patient, love is kind, and it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. And 1 John 4, 7, verse 7 and 8, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows of God. And look at verse 8. Verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. It's very clear. It says that he who does not love does not know God. So we have to love one another. No matter what it is, we have to love one another. We have to forgive one another. And the third point is, we should learn to forgive as God has forgiven us. So that is how we have to forgive. Just imagine, like, you know, this is something, you know, I was kind of meditating as well, right? Just imagine the parable. Due to the lack of time, I'm not going to read the whole story. You could see the parable of the unforgiving servant, right? And when I was kind of reading this and then kind of meditating on this, I just kind of think, how much did God love us, right? We were unworthy creatures, right? You know, we could say we were enemies of God, right? But that God loved us so much that he did cost him, right? And the cost was his only begotten son. This you know, he came to this world, right? And died for our sins. And that is what it cost. So if as believers, if God has loved us and gave us only begotten son, and he was forgiven us, how much more should we forgive others? And when it says in towards the end of verse 34, it says, you know, on Matthew 18, towards the end of 34, it says, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Just imagine if someone is angry with us or someone has done harm to us. Just remember that. How much had God go, you know, God, I mean, the Lord Jesus has to suffer for our sins. And look at that side of the it. Right? How much God had to suffer for our sins so that we could boldly come to his into his presence. That access, right? Because of his forgiveness, we have that access. It's not because of our strength or might or anything. It's just because of his great love, his great mercy that we have the access. Then how much more should we forgive others? And this is what the parable talks about. And I just want to highlight a few more points and then close this. Okay, and then some of the questions I kind of ask myself is, why should we forgive? As I said, right, the question I was trying to ask as I was kind of meditating, right, why should we forgive? The first point is, we forgive because we have been forgiven. And the second question I ask my the second point is, we forgive so that God will forgive us. And the third point is, we forgive so that our prayers will not be hindered. We have to forgive because, and this is the time of prayer, right? I have some verses, but I'm not quoting all the verses from there. But you know, since this is a prayer meeting, you know, it says we forgive so that our prayers will not be hindered. And I want to read this verse and conclude this message. It says Mark chapter 11 verse 25. It says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you. As we come to the throne of grace for prayer, right? Let not our prayers be hindered just because of this one reason. If we were not having that forgiving spirit. It clearly says that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. If you do not forgive, right? Lord Jesus Christ will not, you know, forgive us, and our prayers will be hindered. And as we continue to go to prayer, may these thoughts be encouraged, that we may be encouraged by these words, and may his name be glorified.